Let's go watch it in 2D. No, let's go watch it in 3D. But if we watch it in 3D, then is it worth the cost?
You never talk about your past.
I don't remember much.
There's fragments. There was an attack.
You were dying.
We saved you. And now you save others.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Adolf Vega with...
Kristen Richard.
And today we're reviewing 2017 Ghost in the Shell. As always on 3D or 2D.com reviews, we'll talk about the 3D element first. Unfortunately, the screening I went to did not have it in 3D, but you did watch it in 3D, so what are your thoughts?
I thought it was a good movie for 3D. In fact, that was probably the best thing about the film, is 3D effects. There were several parts that were obviously conducive to 3D, and they were filmed in a sort of cinematic style that certainly used the format to its full.
Yeah, I could kind of see that when I was watching it in 2D. I was like, you know, this would look really cool in 3D. It's one of those movies that you're like, that would look so much more interesting if it was in 3D. Too bad it's not, you know.
The best parts that really stood out for me were Major, when she deep dived into the geisha robot. There were swirls and consciousness and everything floating around, and then when she was attacked by the viruses, it really gave it a lot of depth. And then I also like the cityscapes, because the advertisements, that were just absolutely crazy, and probably the way the future will go if commercialism continues to permeate our lives the way it does. Those were interesting, too. I like the man running and the athletes and the banners and everything that were floating around in the sky that were 3D.
Yeah, I found that interesting because, the visuals, when I watched it in 2D, the visuals didn't really... I found them kind of distracting, and I found them kind of over the top. But I think if I saw it in 3D, it would be more interesting to look at. But it says in 2D, it's just kind of like, okay, I get it, it's pretty, but it didn't really grab me.
It almost appeared as though they were pushing the format to its max. There were some frames that were kind of tricky to the eye to pick up on. It almost seemed like there was a slight little glitch or something in it every now and then that would just kind of trick the eye for a second. It was almost moving at a faster frame rate than what the eye was able to calculate. And it made it kind of interesting. Made it very busy.
Okay. So there was good depth and pop-out 3D?
There were a few pop-outs and the explosions and so forth. They weren't overdone, though. I actually remember a couple of occasions during the fight scenes when the pop-out came out. But they did it so subtly that it surprised the audience, or at least it surprised me when it happened. You weren't sitting there anticipating that it was going to fly out. It would fly out at an odd time when you weren't expecting it. It's like there was an explosion, and several seconds after the explosion and aftermath, and suddenly a piece of debris fell in front of the screen that looked like it was flying out into the audience.
Okay. So overall, this sounds like you really love this 3D.
Yes, I'm glad that I saw it in 3D.
And what would be your verdict?
Well, based upon the other 3D movies that I've seen, I thought this was one of the best uses of the format.
Okay, so it sounds like you're giving a great 3D with editor's choice. So top notch 3D here. If you're going to see this movie, see it in 3D.
I would recommend that. I'm surprised that audiences aren't capturing onto this movie more, because I felt like it did such a great job of 3D. To me, that's one reason to watch the movie, even if you're not interested in the story back or the backstory.
Okay. Well, now let's get on to the movie itself. So as we talk about this movie first, I want to point out the reason why Christian's part of this review is we actually have two different ways going into this movie. I have never seen Ghost in the Shell as movie, original animated movie from the 1990s, or the TV show anime. So I have no idea any of this background. Christian, you're the opposite. You watch the movie and you have a lot of experience with the anime TV show, correct?
I do. I've been watching Ghost in the Shell since the first movie came out in 95.
So you're going to get in this podcast review, two perspectives here. And two opinions, which, if you read the review, which I'm going to link in the description below or wherever the description is on this podcast, you'll be able to see. We both have different opinions on it. I think we're both, how to put this? We both don't think it's a great movie, to put it nicely. Let me get started with this story. I'm going to try to not have spoilers here, best we can. So the movie takes place in a distant future where it's cybernetic implants are common, and they're just part of being a human, and it's normal, just like having a cell phone. And the character of Major is one of these cybernetic people, and she is the main focus of this movie. Major, portrayed by Scarlett Johansson, works with an elite team of crime fighters, and Major is on a journey of self-discovery, and she's trying to understand her true nature. And, that's basically the movie in a nutshell. There's a lot more to it than that. Now, I have a lot of problems with this movie, so I'm going to go ahead and go first, and then, Christian, you could either comment on my things.
No, you go ahead, and I'm happy to respond.
Or you could just, okay. So the movie starts off with two little blocks of text on the screen, give you some basic information. I really am not a fan of this because I really feel like the setup really breaks a big narrative rule, which is they show me, don't tell me the story. It's kind of lazy as a filmmaking to just, hey, here's a block of text. You read that, and that's the story. And it's like, wait, I don't know anything here. I'm walking into this totally outside of the spectrum of knowing anything, and I don't know anything. Don't tell me the story. Show it to me. Show me the cutscene. Show me the what led to where we are. So that's one thing, first of all. I'm guessing that didn't bother you at all.
It didn't. The whole cinematography reminded me a lot of Ridley Scott's Blade Runner, and it started off with text, too. It didn't make the movie any more or less enjoyable, at least the Blade Runner example, because the movie stood on its own, even absent of that. And if you wanted to go back and watch the text or read the text later, then it would kind of fill in, some of the blanks that you may have missed. But I felt like the whole cinematography of the film was really Ridley Scott based. And very influenced. I think it would have been a better movie if they had Ridley Scott actually direct it.
Okay. So I really don't feel like I got a real introduction to these characters. Just kind of throw at you. And specifically one character of Amorelli is really odd because he only speaks in Japanese. I don't know if you caught this, but he speaks to Japanese. Everyone understands him. And they speak to him in English, so it's just kind of jarring to have one character only speak in Japanese, and it kind of slows down the movie to read the text, and the text was all over the place. It was like on the bottom, on the right, on the left, and
right. I did notice that the subtitles were all over the place, but I think that the reason that the director did that is because when a person is speaking in a different language, all of a sudden you pay attention, and everything that, what was his name again? Aramaki said was important, and he was a man of few words, and I think they did that in order to grab the audience's attention to make them focus on that character. And again, drawing comparisons to Blade Runner, They did that in Blade Runner 2, where they spoke kind of a street language. It had subtitles as well, but just in, it was English and then the street language, just like it was English and Japanese. I sort of gathered that everybody had cybernetic enhancements in order to be able to understand multiple languages, so I was able to pass that off, that these people weren't necessarily multilingual by learning, but were just simply had chips inside of their brains that were able to listen to other languages and be able to decode them.
I wish they would have actually shown that.
It would have been nice. It would have been nice. But again, that's what I read into it.
So, you know, like subtitles don't bother me. That's not the problem. For me, it was just inconsistent. And, you know, if they had other characters speaking in Japanese, I feel more comfortable with it. But because it's just one person, it just really bothered me. So that was a problem for me to start off with.
If they wanted the movie to be really good, they would have done the whole thing in Japanese.
Or more of it. That way you feel that, you
certainly
know.
More of it. Yes, certainly more of it.
So, speaking of Japanese, it seems like this movie is set in Japan, but I don't really feel it to be authentic to that location. I think the visuals, like you said before, are gorgeous, but I think it's kind of overdone, and I kind of think they're a little bit of a distraction to be flashy for flashy's sake. And I kind of think that it just, you know, look, I've never been to Japan. I'm not a Japanese person. But from what I know of the country, the setting doesn't feel right. I couldn't suspend my disbelief and accept this world being futuristic and all. It just feels very alien and not true, you know. And
I don't
now
know if I can agree with that.
Okay, go ahead.
Tokyo is already crazy over the top in this day and age. Tokyo has been over the top since the 80s with, like, crazy lights and advertisements. And, the city must use more kilowatt hours in a single night than, you know, Dallas probably uses in a month, and especially along the coastlines. And you take, you know, 200 or 300 years, or even just 100 years from now, you know, there's no telling how crazy and how just sensory overload that Tokyo, especially the Tokyo coast, would be. And I don't think it's too far-fetched to think that as technology grows, that it would be not unlike they were showing in the film.
Oh, okay. I think, you know, the flashiness is one thing, but, you know, we're going to have to get into the whitewashing controversy here, because I think it actually hurt this movie. And that's what I'm more thinking about, where it's such a diverse cast that I don't believe that could actually really exist. Because Japan is very well known to not be welcome to foreigners and different races and ethnicities. So it really felt strange for me to have this very diverse cast. And I think it would have felt more authentic if they did have more Asian or Japanese actual actors in this than to have an entirely American Western, movie. And if they wanted to make it more Western, they could have set it in like a futuristic New York City or something. You know, everyone knows that New York is a very diverse location, and it would have worked better, you know? So like an example here, in Suicide Squad, in last year's 2016 movie, you know, they changed the character of Deadshot to be Will Smith. In the actual comics, it's a white man. And in this movie, it's a black man, Will Smith. And I didn't mind because I really like his character. They really made it his own. And I really feel like these characters didn't make it their own. I just don't connect to any of these characters. And I wasn't sold on either of the characters or the setting. And, you know, Major as a main character is boring to watch on screen. She just doesn't have any emotions or any kind of anything to her. So I guess they're trying to be robotic, but it was just annoying to watch her on screen. I really hated her. I don't care about her at all because I know she's supposed to be a cybernetic human, but it was just a really bad performance from Scarlett Johansson. And I just didn't like it. I don't like any of these characters at all. I can't remember anyone that I really felt I liked. I just thought they're all basic one-dimensional characters, you know. So I didn't like the characters to begin with, and I didn't think they really fit the setting, you know, just didn't feel right.
I felt like Scarlett Johansson wasn't too far of a stretch from the anime character. She does appear very white in the film, that, or in the anime, but you could probably go into any Japanese animated film, and it's often that most of the characters look white. And in fact, if there is a Japanese character, they usually become caricatures of the Japanese characteristics. And so if you're going to make an anime movie, it's probably not, I don't know if I would necessarily consider that whitewashing. That said, it would have been nice to have had a few more Asians in there. I think that the part of Major, played by Scarlett Johansson, probably wasn't too far of a stretch, because in costumes she did look a lot like Major from the animated series. And she's pretty cold on in the cartoons as well, cartoons I shouldn't call them, the anime. She's pretty cold and robotic. But I'm not sure how much of it through the portrayal of Johansson was necessarily portraying of Major's character, or how much of it was just Scarlett Johansson, because I joke in my review of calling her like the Keanu Reeves of the female Keanu Reeves, with just her cold deadpan delivery on just about every movie that I've seen her make.
I like her as in the Avengers movies as Black Widow. It's kind of weird because she's the one character that you think would have her own movie, but never has had one. And when you see her in this movie and other movies, Lucy, you just don't like her. I just don't like her performances. So it's like, maybe that's why she can't have her own movie.
I think her performance as Black Widow is very similar to everything else that she's done, including this movie. Just kind of numb and neutral, almost bordering on schizophrenic or something.
Well, I definitely think this is her most bland and most inspired acting performance. I just didn't like her at all. Now, I think for me, you know, the story, the characters and the setting, I have problems with that. But I think the biggest problem I have with it is just the fact that it doesn't have a soul to it. Now, I get it. Some movies don't need to have souls. Some movies are just, you know, fun entertainment. And I could totally go with that. That's not a problem. But the fact that this movie really tries to have a soul and tries to explain itself as, you know, I don't know if you caught it, but they said, "You're a ghost in the shell," like 6 times in this movie. And it drove me crazy. I don't know if you caught that. They said
right.
The title.
Well, they make references to that in the anime as well, because the whole thing is that she's the soul placed inside of a robot. Her brain was placed into a robot, and therefore she's considered a ghost in the show.
But they never explain what that means. Like, they never actually dive deep. Like, you know, you said there's a scene where she dives deep into a computer. Well, why don't you ever dive deep and see into what it is to be a ghost in the show, what it is to be a person, you know, in a machine. You know, I think it a good example of this for me would be maybe explain if she eats or drinks, because having a robotic body, she wouldn't need to eat or drink. But being a human being, that would be something that she would be very used to being a normal thing. And, you know, be able to digest both literally and figuratively the idea of what it is to be a human being. You know, to say, I don't need to eat because I don't want, you know, I don't have a feeling, but I like to eat because it's an enjoyable social experiment, you know, and it's enjoyable to...
It wouldn't have been bad if they had put stuff like that in there, I agree.
That's how you could make it, you know, have something in there. And there's a scene here, not to really spoil it, but there's a scene here with a character, that's an older Asian woman, and she's speaking to Major. And this scene is supposed to be a touching scene, and I think it falls flat on its face, and I just don't believe it. I don't believe that this is something that could really happen in the story, and it just didn't feel right. It just, they're trying to have a soul there and trying to say, hey, you know, we have a good, you know, character moment, but it just didn't work. You know what I'm seeing talking about?
Yes, I could agree with that.
So, you know, it just, it's devoid of
any almost like they, it's almost like they went too far with her trying to find out about her past.
And I'm perfectly okay with that idea, but they just didn't execute. And, you know, yeah, it's also, you know, one of those things where what is it to be, you know, is she really starting to think about what it is to be a human being? I mean, how is it to be human in this world? You know, what is there limitations to what body parts can be, you know, created and being cybernetic? You know, is there such a thing where it, you've gone too far, you know, or they kind of mentioned that, but it just feels like they really had much more to chew on, but they didn't go there. They were just trying to have a really cool action scene here and there, and it just doesn't have any emotional resonance, and I just feel like it's really rushed and poor scripted. And what limitations are there to Major's body? You know, there's a scene where she is trying to help out her friend, without spoilers, and she does something that would be impossible as a human being, but like, okay, so what? Who cares? Just give her new arms. Whatever, you know, why is that emotionally important whenever, you know, if it was a human being losing their arms, it'd be much more impactful. I get what they're trying to do, but it just didn't work. So maybe, I don't know. I just want to know more about this world, and this movie didn't give me that. And I see like they can do it. You can sense there's more to it. Maybe in the anime they cover this. I don't know. What do you think?
I think the animated series may have touched on some of these things, but that's because they had hours and hours of shows to be able to do it. That said, they still could have done more than what they did. My biggest beef with this movie was the fact that I felt like all of the fighting and violence scenes and slightly sexual and sensual scenes were all muted as much as Johansson's character herself. I just never did feel like they went far enough with the insanity. The anime has some really insane concepts in it. And I just felt like the movie just was muted because they wanted to get like some sort of PG-13 rating. And I felt like the movie showed them so much more just insane and bombastic to the audience that may have begun to make up for some of the shortcomings of the movie.
I could see that.
I feel like it went far enough. A lot of the violence was off camera, and that just really drove me crazy. Like they were, like somebody was about to shoot somebody, and they was like, he'd point the gun, and they would cut to another scene. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is like made for television violence type stuff. And I paid money to see this movie, and you know, when you're an adult going into a movie to watch, you know, something that has action or violence in it, you don't want it to be off screen.
Yeah, it feels like they try to make it quote unquote mainstream, and then now they made it so mainstream that it lost any bite that it might have had originally, and it lost soul in there, and it just is not complete to what it. I could feel it. I never seen it. I don't know any of the original stuff, but you can kind of feel that there's more to it than this, and. Like, you,
right.
You know, it could just, for me, okay, I thought it was really boring, and that's ultimately why I didn't like this movie, and I didn't like the characters, I didn't like the setting, I didn't like, it just didn't have a soul. For me, it just felt like I was lost. I felt like certain things were not explained very well, and that it just kind of threw you in there, and it's like, okay, that's fine for a degree, but I really don't know what's going on some of the time, and I don't know if I care. And for me, I'll go ahead and give my verdict here. I really despise this movie. I really wish it could be better. I could see how a good movie could be in here, but for me, this is a failure, a massive failure that no substance to it. And I give it a 3 out of 10. Now,
yes,
go.
I was gonna respond to that. I was gonna say that I think I probably gave it a lot of props or free passes because I was familiar with the genre. So a person like me going in may not have realized that I wasn't being spoon-fed the storyline. You got to realize that probably most of the people that are watching this movie aren't anime nerds like I am. So I would probably agree that the movie did fail on that level. But I just felt like everything was muted. And I kept sensing that there could be a good movie in there, too. But about halfway through the film, I started realizing that that wasn't the movie that I was going to get.
Okay, so what did you like about it? Because obviously you like it more than me, but what is that?
I like that it sort of touched again on robotics and humans, sort of in the way that Philip K. Dick did in, with this helping in the screenplay of Blade Runner. That I thought that, you know, Blade Runner kind of flopped too, but but people started going back to it and revisiting it. And now it's considered a masterpiece. I don't think history will be so kind to this movie because it just was so muted. There was just no insanity in the movie that people can go back, would even want to go back and revisit. Just the villain was kind of, he's supposed to be kind of crazy. But in the anime, the hacker, also, you know, known as the Laughing Man and in the anime is just insane, and that you know you kind of have an understanding of, you know, toward the end of this movie why he's doing what he's doing and why he might be justified in some sort of way. But I just didn't feel like he went far enough for somebody that had the crazy passion that that the villain of this genre is supposed to have. And There were no backstories for people to go back and revisit. You know, in Blade Runner, there was a forbidden romance. There was questions of whether the police officer that was hunting people, the android was or was not an android himself, and it started making questions about everybody and the whole freaking cast might have been robots. And it started blurring the lines to where the audience couldn't tell, and it was never revealed. This movie never did any of that. Everything was so clear, cut, and dry. And just from the very first viewing, and there just wasn't a whole lot to go back to watch again. And I gave it a little bit better score than you did, I think, because I was happy to see it back in the cinema, and I was happy to have another viewpoint or vantage point for the genre. But seeing how most of the audiences have not had any background in the story, I could understand your low score. I gave it a 6 out of 10.
So, Christian, do you think actual fans of Ghost in the Shell should watch this movie?
I think they might be disappointed by the movie, but I would recommend it. That's the reason that I went to see the movie, and that's the reason that I gave it a better review than you.
Now, we talked a lot about another movie here. You mentioned at least 4 times Blade Runner, and
yeah.
Blade Runner is actually going to get a sequel this year. And I usually don't like to compare movies, but I think this actually is really good to compare it to. Now, I think Blade Runner, I agree with you that it's a much better movie than this, but I kind of think that it has a lot of soul, which is good. But I think it's really slow and it's really boring, and I just can't watch it. I could respect the movie because it has great visuals for the time and has a really interesting things it's saying, but I just think it was really slow and really kind of boring for me to be able to watch it again. But that's just me. I just could not get into that one.
That's Ridley Scott's style, though, and I really felt like the director of this movie, of Ghost in the Shell, was really going after a very similar slow stir. But unfortunately, the directive of as far as the muted violence, the muted insanity, the muted plot, just didn't give it as much of a soulful movie that will stand the test of time.
Okay. What else do you want to say about this movie?
Huh. just could have been a better movie. It just could have been. I agree with you 100% on that. It just could have been a better movie. It just, it kind of reminded me of other movies that I've seen recently that that have been churned out that just could have been better movies. And again, I don't want to just keep drawing comparisons, but Batman versus Superman could have been a better movie as well. So.
Well, yeah. So
I'm getting weary of going into the movies and being disappointed by the entire breadth of the movie, and I'm wondering if that's a new style that I'm just going to have to get used to in this new age of pop culture and cinema.
You know, I always try, and that's one of the things that I always want to have an open mind and judge things on my own merit, and I don't care if LA Times or New York Times or whatever, the Daily Bugle or Daily Planet say a movie is great or terrible beforehand, or, you know, I want to try to always judge it on its own merit. And, I was excited kind of going into this, like, you know, this would be interesting. I don't know anything about this, and let's see if I like it. And unfortunately, I kind of agree with all the other critics out there, which, you know, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And this one, you know, it just doesn't feel right. And it's hard.
The reviews that I've seen, I seem to slack it over with the whitewashing. It really had very little to do with the movie overall. And I wish that the critics wouldn't have taken the easy way out, and they would have actually attacked the film on the merits outside of that. Because there's plenty of movies that have changed the nationality of main characters, and they do okay. And that's not the reason the movie failed. And I feel like that's what it's going to kind of get thrown into the best end of history as, well, this is a whitewash film, don't go see it, and without allowing the director to kind of maybe learn from the mistakes of this. It could have had an all Japanese character or cast in it with Japanese subtitles, filmed in Tokyo, and this movie still wouldn't have been any more exciting to me, and it would have probably received the same score.
Yeah, that's a very important thing. Look, I don't like the characters, and I don't feel it's authentic. And if they would have made him authentic, if the characters weren't good to begin with or weren't good representations of the characters, it's a problem with the story. Characters are a massive element of the story. So it is important, but it's not the only thing, you know. If it had more of a soul to it, I could forgive certain things. If the acting was upper top notch, I could forgive a lot of things, or I could just overlook other things, you know. It just depends on how it actually is. If it is, you know, if they did do amazing performances here and it's something that you never seen before, I could totally forgive, you know, changing things up. You know, I'm totally okay with changing things up. I'm not against that. That's perfectly fine. You know, if they want to change things up in the future, so be it. But they got to justify it. They got to set it. And I didn't feel like they sold it here. For me, and I didn't feel like they really could have. I think they could have done more. It's really strange to have like a all the Asian names characters and not have them be Asian. So if they want to, you know, change the character of Bato to be African American, then have him have an African American, you know, name. It just seems really out there to have those changes. So. You know, do you think the anime holds up after all these years? If people should watch the original?
I do, because the main reason is because the characters are complex. All the characters in this movie, maybe with the exception of the Asian man that spoke Japanese, were very were just very bland and very monodimensional. There was just no humanity to them, and. There was no complexity to the story either. The characters were just as one-dimensional as the storyline itself, and the anime has backstory on top of backstory, and they don't always explain the whole backstory. And You know, it's just, and it's just over the top stuff.
Would you like
over the top complexity?
Would you like to see the original anime converted to 3D?
If it would look right, if it would look better than the Peanuts movie.
Okay. So I think that's pretty much it here. Yeah, it's a disappointing movie. It's, you know, it's just bad. You know, it's just unfortunately not as good as it could have been or should have been. And for me, if you're not a fan of it, if you never heard of the genre, never, you know, you're probably still going to think it's meh. You know, I think
anybody who's interested in this genre would be much better served watching the anime.
Now, is the anime original, do they have a decent English dub, or is it just going to be in full Japanese?
I think there is an English dub, but I never watch those, or very seldom watch those.
I know the English dubs can be very random. Sometimes they'll be really good, sometimes they'll be really bad. So
I just, sometimes the translations kind of sound awkward when it's dubbed, and it works out a lot better if it's subtitled.
Okay. So, just to wrap up again, I gave it a 3 out of a possible 10, and Christian, you gave it a 6 out of a possible 10, but
six,
you do think
go ahead.
But you do think the 3D is excellent, and if you do watch it,
the 3D was the saving grace of this movie, and I wish that critics would have given it some merit for that instead of just focusing and trying to change the world by calling a box office dud whitewashed, because, you know, there's so many movies that are whitewashed that, you know, the Marvel movies, you know, come on, and the DC movies as well, you know, those were whitewashed as well, and Doctor Strange comes to mind. Doctor Strange seemed to get better reviews. It was no more, no less whitewashed than this movie, and the reason that Doctor Strange did well and this one did bad is because one story was complex and one wasn't.
Yeah, and we should probably do a Doctor Strange review together. We haven't ever done that. That's one of the movies that, unfortunately, it came out at a time where it was right between holidays and it just became really hard to get time to record. So we got to do that before, you know, we got to do that one day.
Yeah, but, I enjoy that. I have a lot of backstory with Doctor Strange as much as with this movie, so I'm certainly a fan of that story.
All right. Well, I think that's going to be it for tonight. Thank you for listening, and hope you enjoyed this podcast. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Major!
They created me, but they cannot control me.
All right, so that's going to wrap up this podcast.
Remember to like, comment, favorite, subscribe, love, whatever. Heart it, be something.
3D or 2D.com can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, and SoundCloud. And if you want to send us email, our email address is email3d or 2d@gmail.com. And thank you again for listening. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye, everyone.